This episode is gonna be a girthy one. I know that was a fun choice of words, but it really is. I'm going to be recapping information and thoughts and experiences from the VidCon Baltimore event and VidSummit as well. They were literally back to back with only like a day or two in between them. And I went to both, and I want to just download you on all of the things that I could consume to bring to you, so you know what's going on. And yeah, it's good. It's so good. So let's do this. Welcome to the Women of YouTube podcast. This podcast is hosted by me, Desiree Martinez. Every week, I'm going to be showing up in your earbuds to inspire you on your YouTube journey with killer interviews with women YouTube creators, deep dives into the inner workings of how YouTube works, and discussing all the things about YouTube culture and the impact it is having on our world. This podcast is brought to you in partnership with vidIQ, where they help you maximize your video's YouTube reach by studying titles, descriptions, tags, and playlists relevant to your subject matter, while also studying your competitors to help you know exactly what you should be doing for your YouTube growth. So if you're a female creator looking to grow your channel, level up your content, and learn from the best women creators on the platform to get you on your way to YouTube success and future-proofing your income, this is the perfect place for you. Let's do this. What's up, ladies? Welcome to the episode of the Women of Video podcast. I'm so excited to be up in your earballs. If you're new here, hi, what's up? Your girl Desiree here to bring you all of the things creator economy so you as a woman can grow and flourish and thrive in this crazy world. I'm coming to you like no makeup situation. I did a little like anti-shine powder because I had to wear so much makeup while I was gone. My face was just like a mess and was super broken out. And so like I just had to just show up for you in like a raw, real kind of way, which I'm super fine with. But let's just dive into this. Okay, so if I had to like give a sort of like a consistent thing that all of the events had, like I'm really struggling with like where to start with this because there's so much. Like you have so much information. You're like, I don't know where to start. Okay, so here's how I can start. First of all, here's what you need to know. These events both were fantastic. Totally different, but super fantastic. VidCon Baltimore, this is our first ever event on the East Coast. It was super small, super intimate, and they really dug into this idea of having local East Coast and Baltimore creators. In fact, I believe that they said something like 15 of the featured creators that they had brought in were like from the area of Baltimore. And when you think about like how VidCon in LA is done, like everyone's there. So it's all of the super like posh, cool people. And so it was really cool that they kind of brought that part over to the East Coast event as well. What I really liked about the event with the East Coast one, like wasn't just that it was small and it was intimate and it was like really just like focused. My favorite part of it were two parts. One, there was a special leadership summit. And I really loved the keynote speaker that they got that came to the industry track. Now, one of the things that tends to happen with these kinds of events, with VidCon specifically, is everyone kind of dogs on it a bit. They're like, oh, it's so fan-focused. It's so all of the things. And I'm like, you know, as creators, it's really important for us to remember, like, why we're here. What is it that brought us to this space? And it's our fans. It's the people that we're doing this for. So when, like, you see a whole expo floor full of, like, aspiring creators, and maybe they might be kids, and, like, they're dressed up like their favorite people, or they have, like, a whole vibe and cosplay specific to it. Like, it's super amazing. Like, it makes me wish that my YouTube channel or, like, even this podcast, like, had a fun character so that people could cosplay as it. But I mean, it just, I digress. So when we talk about how the conference had a community track, which is where anyone can go, and it's very fan driven, and the industry event, which is where the professionals go and like where they go to level up and stuff, like it's a really stark difference in the vibe and stuff. So let's talk about the industry track, which is where I spend my time, and talk about the leadership summit. So the thing about the leadership summit that was so interesting, it was the idea of bringing people within the creator economy space together in a way that they hadn't before. There really was a room full of the people who were in charge of venture capitalist funds, news outlets, creators, companies, agencies. It was really cool. Less than 100 people, intimate space. And the idea and like the theme around it was like, we as creators and those who are members of the creator economy really need to figure out like how we can have more say over what's going on in this space. So there's an organization called creator.org that I highly encourage you to go check out. You can sign up for free just to get like news and information. And it's really the idea of like, how can we give creators say over what's happening? So like, for example, I'm an Amazon influencer. I've done a whole episode about like how much money I made. And it's a big part of like, it was a big part of my income, especially in 2022. And they, as a platform, just decided to make all kinds of changes with like no communication to the creators in their program. I actually recently was on the Instagram account for the Amazon Influencer Program, and everyone in the comments was like, we don't care about this. Like, why are you doing this? Why did you get rid of this? All of these like 80% drops in income, all of these kinds of problems. And we as creators have no say, but these companies have built programs off of the sweat and labor that we have put into it. Same with like YouTube or TikTok or Amazon or Facebook. There's no thought or say to the creators about why they do things. They literally just do things like they say for a better user experience. But I also truly think that it's because they want to just like make more money. And I get that from a capitalist perspective, but at the same time, like, it's so detrimental to us as creators to not know where our money is coming from every month when we don't have control over everything. So like when I'm going from making $4,500 to $5,000 a month from a program down to like the $700 I made last month, it's really hard. And so it'd be nice to have say. It'd be nice to know those things are happening. It'd be nice to be able to like, no, Amazon, slow your roll. Don't do these sorts of things. And so that's kind of like the objective of creator.org. It's designed to be a nonprofit. And it's trying to focus on a policy-based way of doing this versus like a tactic-based. It's borderline not union, but there might be union tactics they have to. Like they seem very like, let's not unionize, but also like unions are having a whole moment here and getting a lot of things done in our world. So it's a very interesting kind of idea. So the focus of creator.org is like is to help with one income, which is equitable monetization for all creators. YouTube is really the only platform that is doing revenue sharing. And when the platforms can pay people fairly, it allows for us to create more and also have more jobs. They also are focusing on accountability, fair data, well-being, like creator health and sustainability, DEI and AI as well. So like, what is it that's going to be happening in this and like how they're going to direct this? And they obviously have some things that they have to get together in order for it to really be successful. So the first thing that they want to do is launch creator.org. They want to hire people into some specific positions. They want to help raise money and they want to onboard creators. And they have a goal, like they'd love to have like a million creators, but I think like in a more realistic place, getting somewhere between like 10, 15, 100,000 creators on board is like a metrics for goals, I think is way better. So it just was really interesting to like have that idea. Like I would love to have say over my income in the same way that I could at a job or as a member of a union where I'm like, no, I don't like this. You're really screwing me over. Like let's play fair and do all this stuff. Right. So that's what I really liked about what was happening at that summit. Some other things that were talked about and presented in there was also like some really interesting data points where around like where we are in the creator economy, and it's creator economy funding is down 90%. So when we're talking about creator economy funding, it's like VCs who are investing in creator-based businesses, like the Spotters, the Creative Juices, the Jelly Smacks of the world. Like it is down 90%. But at the same time, there's a 500% increase in like startups and focus on the creator economy. Like we're talking about the creator economy being worth $500 billion, $500 billion, right? Which is why it's really important for us as creators to have say in all of this and know like what we're doing. But there's a lot of growth that's happening as this continues to grow coming into the next few years. I think it's like $500 billion by 2025 was the data that it was. So there's a lot happening here. There's a lot of being invested in here, a lot of being built to make these things sort of work better. And again, having all the information was super important to like have. The focus really does seem to be on increasing monetization and removing the friction in which we can make money. So with creators, it's hard to get a hold of creators as well for like agents and stuff and to help them. So like, how can we
How can we as creators minimize friction for money-making opportunities while also maintaining some level of privacy and protection for ourselves, especially as women? That was also a topic that was talked about as well. So Leadership Summit was really great. Great place to connect and learn and like see what people think about different things within the space. There was a lot of really good comments and conversations. So it was really, really cool. Look, I'm really sorry to interrupt, but did you know that YouTube is the world's second biggest search engine? Maybe you did, maybe you didn't, but that's why every creator truly needs to be using vidIQ to grow their YouTube channel. vidIQ's tech helps you tailor your video ideas to match what people are searching for right now on YouTube. And once you're ready to upload, well, it starts optimizing and getting you all the details that you need to make sure your videos are getting noticed. If you really want to dive in more and get started for free, please head over to thewomenofyoutube.com/vidIQ to get started on this YouTube channel changing tool that is going to make things so much easier for you. All right, let's get back to it. So my favorite part of this whole conference was the keynote that they brought in for the industry track. Now, the keynote presenter, his name was Christian Tom. And Christian Tom is the assistant to the president and the director of White House Digital Strategy. So they're the ones in charge of like what gets posted on social media in the name of the president of the United States. And I thought that it was so cool how the strategy worked. Okay, their objective isn't to go viral for the White House, it's to be seen. And they're doing that by figuring out how can we, the White House, put themselves into the feed in a way that feels authentic and organic. Basically, like, they're not trying to go viral and they're not trying to fight the feed for attention. They're working with trends and things that are happening on the platform so that they can ride the waves of those success while making sure that their agendas and their accomplishments and the things they're working on doing on are being seen. It's not just about like being fun, which is obviously a part of what they're trying to do, but it's also making sure messaging is getting input in there. And they have tens, if not hundreds of millions of views and engagement points that they have been able to get by following this strategy. They also work a lot with the creator community. And it has one of the biggest opportunities for the White House to reach Americans because they know that they can amplify their reach and their impact by working with influence on the platform so that they can have success. So I really, really loved everything that he talked about. Christian himself is like a multi-generational like communications person in the White House. I guess he's like his uncle or his grandfather or something like that, did a whole bunch of work in politics around the 60s and 70s with like equality and DEI and things like that. So it was just really cool to like have that moment for him to have that growth and opportunity. But my biggest takeaway is we can do this as creators as well. Is it's again, let's not try to go viral. Let's work on being seen and writing the waves of trends so that we can have an organic and authentic connection with our audience by using those sorts of things. Some other notes I took on here is, be a creator and a good friend. We really want to be focused on community. Community was like the number one word I think I heard over both conferences, which I thought was really interesting. In order to build a really solid community, like the suggestion is like it's a three-part system. It's topic, style, and system. By understanding what your topic is with the style that you do it and the system that you're going to use to capture and connect with people is going to help you with building an authentic community to really connect. I also have written on this note that the business of being a creator is more the life of being a creator. There's no business. I understand the grinding and building, but it isn't sustainable and it has no longevity. If you are just creating, you're going to burn out. You have to have a business in order for this to be sustainable. Like that's what that is. Like you have to think of yourself, this is the business of being a creator. And it needs to be less about the life of being a creator because being a creator is hard. At some point you have to put on your business pants and like figure out how to bridge your creativity and your audience with income. And I think that was, I talk about all the time over here. So, it's not a secret to those of you that have been here before. I went to this really cool session as well called The Long View on Short Form Content.
The amount of people that like just shit all over short form content is really astronomical. And for those at VidCon, because this is like VidSummit was very anti short form content, where VidCon really embraced it. They brought in a lot of creators and speakers that were TikTok creators, were Instagram creators, were Snapchat creators. And they're talking about how they're having a success and what they're doing to build brands and businesses and things like that. And so some of the notes that I took that I wanted to bring to you about like how you can really be having a long-term plan or strategy around short-form content is as follows. We want to use short-form content to attract new audiences with the app using native music and tags. The long-term game, what's the long-term game for short-form content? It's to put as much time into your shorts as you do your long-form content. Make sure that you have engagement and participation coming in, and to put a good quality content, and all of the good stuff will follow. There was this panel of people that talked about short form content, and they talked about like they spend a lot of time on short form. There are some creators on there that all they did was create short form content. They actually, the same panel had a guy who was on the Reels team at Instagram or at Meta from Instagram. And they were talking about a lot of this kind of good stuff. And one of the big things that he had talked about was advertising. And it's like advertising really thrives on disruption. So if you are creating content for a brand, or a brand you're interested in working with, or as like a content creator for a brand, being able to create content that people don't know as a brand is really disrupting and really impactful. And it really allows for you to have impact. Some of my other notes include creators are finding resiliency. Creators are rejecting polished ideals of aspiration. Creators have the power. I've heard this actually at a couple of different events, not just these two. I talk about creators having power. I'm on the fence about this one because I really feel like while brands might think creators have power, I think that what's more important is that it's wrong. I think the brands have power too, because they hold the purse strings, and nothing makes creators feel less powerful than like brands that don't want to give them money or what they're worth or what their time is worth. And so that can be really funny, or that can be really frustrating. But a great way for creators to really have success, creators need to think of themselves as an ad agency, or that they are an agency, a media company, so that they can really be connecting with audience, like understanding how the platforms work and creating content that connects with people is what brands want. And so if you can show that, especially if you integrate like other brands and products in really well as part of your portfolio, you're going to be able to have a lot of success. And from this comes this opportunity to be what's called a creator generated content rather than like user generated content. Because user-generated content is great, but creator-generated content comes with like experience, understanding of how platforms work. And the success in this lies in like lo-fi production. And there's this demand, this need, like agencies and brands just really need to adjust in order to have success in the space so that they can work with creators, especially with short-form content, which is what everybody really wants right now. Like the amount of times I have not been able to qualify for brand deals because I don't have TikTok or Instagram is like a central focus for my content is super strong. But creators can make an abundance of content, and creators are businesses and their brand partners and the platforms that, and they understand how to create content that is platform appropriate, and brands just really need to find that bridge. So as a creator yourself, you can be using short form content to really build visibility and audiences that can drive to other places that you might want to go to. Okay, so this is a super interesting tangent that I went on. So there's a session that was about Snapchat, and I wanted to go because I haven't paid attention to Snapchat in a minute, and I find it super interesting about where it's at. So this is what was said about Snapchat. Snapchat is an and, not an or, because you have to know that Snapchat reaches 90% of Gen Z kids, people, in over 20 countries. And they're doing that through authenticity. And they're also able to get great revenue sharing through Snapchat. I also really love this point about Spotlight is built in audio stories and is for deepening your relationship with your audience. And Snapchat invented stories, which is essentially creating vertical video formula. So that part blew my mind. Snapchat invented stories, which essentially created the vertical video form that we know today. And like, they're the ones that originally did it. Like, I remember everyone shooting all over Snapchat and how it's like, oh, it's only 24 hours and all stuff. And then like Instagram added, like, oh, I guess this is a real thing because Meta could not buy Snapchat. And it, so it's all of these things. And like that led the way for like short form vertical video to have success on all the platforms. Like it led to TikTok and YouTube Shorts and all the things. So what's super interesting to me though, from a TikTok creator perspective, is there is a girl named Carolyn Marjorie, and she will post 200 to 300 snaps a day. And she has built a massive audience on Snapchat because she's just capturing and sharing everything. Obviously she's young, but she has found a really smart way to create Karen AI, which is a voice chatbot, which allows for her fans to interact with a version of her 24/7 with her, no matter what the time is. Because she is known for spending a ton of time in her DMs and talking with people, giving them advice, helping with them, connecting them. And now her AI can allow for her fans to do that anytime she wants. She kind of has a position where it's like they can go on a date with the AI version of herself because she's given it like, I think over 2,000 hours of like audio data points for how she talks, how she communicates, and how she does things. So it's super fascinating. I talked to her after her session and got her manager's information because I really want her to be a guest on the podcast so we can dive into all of that. But Snapchat might be an opportunity for you if you're not doing well, if like you're trying to reach that Gen Z audience. So we need to talk about the word, like I said just a second ago, like this is the most popular word from these conferences, which is community, the community economy. And it's not just consuming, but participating in a creator's life. I'm a creator in like a business sense, so I'm able to slip in little moments of my life that really help people with what they're trying to do. But here in this podcast, this is where we have a real strong community, like where we connect. You know a lot about me, my struggles, my stories, my journeys. Like I'm very transparent here because I want you to feel heard, seen, and like represented in a really positive way. And so when we're participating in the creator's life, it's going to build familiarity. That's really what's required for creators to be successful. So you have to ask yourself, what are the parts about you that you can share with your community on an ongoing basis, the stories, the connecting points, so that people are familiar with you, so they want to invest in you? And then how do we ritualize content consumption? I love, love, love this question. How do we ritualize content consumption? Your girl's an elder millennial. Okay, I'm 38. And I grew up, I was from the TGIF and SNICK era, Saturday Nickelodeon. When I say I had to be in front of my TV during those times, I mean it. I had to be there to like watch my shows. I had it time to pee and get snacks during those commercial breaks. I knew all the introductory songs to all of those, Family Matters, Step by Step, you know, Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, Are You Afraid of the Dark, Alex Mack, all that. Like, I knew them all. Like, I was there and I was invested every single week for probably for like 3 to 5 years of my childhood, from like fourth grade onward. And we even see this now. Like, it's not just like in that TV show. Like, we have ritualized content consumption through like football games or sporting events. Like, how many times we show up? Like, Disney Plus just did this with the Ahsoka show, where they didn't release the episodes until Tuesdays at 9 p.m. Eastern time. Like, so we're getting back to this ritualized content consumption. So how can you create that? How can you be a destination for entertainment and consumption so your community is continuously drawn to you? Like being able to like publish a video at the same time every week and have like instantly people are like, this is time. It's my time to spend with Des or whatever. Like that's what that is, right? So that ritualized content consumption is what we really have to strive for. And I think within pairing with this, we have to be comfortable pissing off the right people. One of the things that's really hard about where we are in the world is like we have to pick a side on so many things. And I think that that's okay. I think that pissing off the right people allows for us not to have those people as part of our audience, and instead have the people that we want who agree with us, who are willing to take on our stuff. Women of video pisses off the right people because they're men, usually white men, who don't understand why this has to exist. And I've had countless private DM conversations. I've been ignored by lots of people. Like, just don't want to recognize this is an issue. And it's problematic because it led to like us not being able to have our in-person event because people didn't want to sponsor it because they wanted to see what would happen or who would support it or what would happen. Like, there's all kinds of pieces and parts to this. So we have to ask ourselves, how can we come up with stuff for the right people so we can attract the right people to our brand, our audience, and to our community? Ad revenue is going to pivot to content due to the writer's strike. We do not need traditional media to fail for digital media to succeed. Okay, so this is a two-parter. So ad revenue will pivot to content due to the writer's strike. The writer's strike happened over the summer. It's like 120-something days, I think, for that strike. And like the last writer's strike is what led to the reality TV movement that we had back in like the late 2010s era. Like I think the last strike was 2008. I remember that because Heroes was out and it did so badly. The second season was terrible, which really sucked. I think it was a downturn of that show, which was an amazing show. Anyway, I digress. We're going to have sort of like a desert coming up within like where TV and content wasn't created for all that period of time. And so they're going to be turning to our non-traditional media platforms like YouTube to create content. So we need to be able to show up and be there. But it pairs with a statement of you do not need traditional media to fail for digital media to succeed. We saw digital media succeed in spades, especially from COVID as well, like another like traditional media fail. Like all of the, remember all of the late night hosts like started doing things remotely. Like I remember the first time Stephen Colbert and Jimmy Fallon did a video for YouTube. Y'all, it was bad. Like I was like, someone, a live streamer needs to help them figure out how to do this. Obviously they got their footing and stuff after time, but it was like, it was rough at first because they just wanted to show up for people. We don't need traditional media to fail for digital media to succeed, but we as digital media creators need to like show up and be present and keep making great content. And that's what's going to allow for us to thrive. And my last note that I have here is we won't replace creativity. We will help productivity, which is a quote from Thomas Kramer, which I thought was really, really great about how we can, we're not like, I thought it was a good way to wrap that up. So that was VidCon. Great event, great networking, great people, super like low key. Like it was the right amount of time for a conference. I really enjoyed the two different sides of it, like the industry and the community track. I spoke there, which is why I was there. I forgot to mention that I spoke there about how creators make money, how like small creators make money. Packed room, standing room only, everyone stayed, like hardly anyone left, which is a big deal. And I really enjoyed just like connecting, answering questions and like people getting value. And I always get really hyped and people give me good feedback. And one of the nicest things someone said is like, coming to your session made my ticket worth it. And I was like, that just like made my heart soar. So that was a really good session. I really enjoyed educating and like different ways for people to make money. Maybe I'll make that a podcast so you guys can enjoy that too. But yeah, it was just a really good session. So I really enjoyed VidCon. Definitely consider going next year if you are interested. VidCon LA is a total like corporate vibe. It's super big. It's super popular. It's super crowded. It's all kinds of things. But the VidCon one is definitely smaller and more intimate. And it was really, really good. So hopefully they do it again next year. So sorry to interrupt our episode. I know we're getting really into it. But are you looking for a powerful, easy-to-use tool that can help you take your video to the next level? If so, I've got just the tool for you. Today's episode is brought to you by Adobe Express, the all-in-one solution for all of your content creation needs. With Adobe Express, you can easily create stunning videos, design eye-catching thumbnails, clip and trim your videos with ease, and schedule your content for social media. One of the standout features of Adobe Express is the range of thumbnail templates that are available. With dozens of customizable templates to choose from, you can create thumbnails that are both visually appealing, informative, and help your videos stand out on that crowded home feed of YouTube. And when it comes to video clipping, it makes it so much easier to repurpose your content from those long-form videos to all of the other vertical video platforms, and you can easily share them with the scheduling tool within Adobe Express. So if you're ready to take your content creation to the next level, head over to Adobe Express and start your free trial today. You can find the link to get signed up for today over in our show notes at womenofvideo.com. And remember, Adobe Express is the perfect tool for taking your content to the next episode. All right, back to the episode. So now let's talk about VidSummit. Okay. So VidSummit was in Dallas this year. It was the 10th annual event. And I only got to stay for one day. I flew in, I flew from Baltimore to Dallas. I stayed for a little bit of time in between because I didn't, it was like just there wasn't enough time for me to like go home, chill, and come back. So I just like went from one to the other. I got to go. I went with StreamYard, who I have a huge fan of, huge partner with. Like they, I do my podcast, like the video podcast that you watch here and sound. All this stuff is done through StreamYard, and it has for ever, like since the beginning. And I got to meet up with them and like talk to partners. It was so great to see so many people in real life. I hadn't seen it forever, and I loved it. Like Daniel Batal, Nick Niman, Tanya Smith, Joanne, Danielle from Tube Spanner. Like they're like Emily D. Baker. Like there's just so many great people that I got to see in real life who have become virtual friends. And getting to see them in real life was just amazing. And I just really, really loved like connecting and bonding together. That was on Monday, October 2nd. The next day is October 3rd, and they had like the kickoff party. And that's when you go and you register. And y'all, I was shocked. I was shocked to my core when I walked towards that convention center. Let's give some context. So in previous years, last year, it's just, I did not go. I did not go to Vid Summit in 2022. I protested with my wallet because they would not have women speakers in abundance. It was still like 60 something speakers. Only 10, 11 of them were women. It was the same year before and the same year before that. And I was just like, I am done. I am done if they're not going to take the feedback that lots of people are giving about how we need more diversity. And it not only because diversity in speakers brings diversity in attendance. And they must have heard, they must have listened. They must like that feedback must have finally sunk in. Because the amount of women I saw in that registration queue and that I saw all over the place in the stands, everything was plentiful. Like we easily went from like 10% of the audience to somewhere to like 35 to 40% of the audience. I was shook to my core. Additionally, they had a massive increase in attendance numbers. So they had like 1,000 people, I think, in total last year at the 2022 event, according to someone that I talked to. This year, 2,500 attendees, plus somewhere in the realm of 500 for sponsors, guests, speakers, volunteers, all that kind of stuff that got to go as well. So you're talking 3,000 people like collaborated on to the Irving Convention Center in Dallas, and it was a really really great event. I was so ready to hate it. I was so ready to like not be impressed. Like, great, just another event that the boys have put on again, and it's gonna be a whole thing. It was so good. It was so good. I was so surprised. They had so many amazing women speakers in the lineup. I was so excited. They had, oh my gosh, like there's just so many. Like, one of my favorites is one of our speakers. We've had some speakers on stage. We've had Emily D. Baker was one of the people that spoke. We had Hope Scope was one of the speakers. She's also been a guest on the podcast. Gabrielle, who's Gabby Glam, she was there. I'm pulling it up on the website so we can like I can have accurate like agenda of like what's happening. Oh, they already have it planned. They already have it switched over from last year or from this year. Anyway, so many great speakers, so many great people at the event, so many women that were there, include okay, so Michelle Carr, Lynn, Mindy McKnight, oh yeah, they don't have this. So there were so many great women speakers that really brought the women crowd in and the real solid representation. They also had Sarah Renee Clark, who is the creator of the Color Cube, which I have as part of my background set. I met her last year. She talked about like how you make a product and use it to be successful. It was just such a great, it was such great information. Such great information everywhere that you went from women. And it was so varying and it was so great. What I also really liked about it is that it wasn't just this like push for the Channel Jumpstart program. It was a lot of like different ways to make money, different ways people have growth, different ways people to have success. StreamYard had a Women of Live Streaming panel, which I was super proud of them for having. I didn't get to be there. I was supposed to actually moderate it. I didn't get to be there because I had to go to Chicago to speak. But it was just, I know this is a lot and I don't want to sound lame or unprepared for this talk, but it was just so good. There was so much great information about it. Like, I highly recommend like buying the recordings so that you can like go through the content and really take in everything that was said and learned at the session, because it was so helpful and there were so many great pieces of information about like things that people I know were struggling with so that they could find success in this space. There's a lot of really great sponsors there. Get Juice, who's the creator bank, was there, and they had a great service that they've added on that's like, how about it's about accounting and CPA services. So like being a creator has unique opportunities within your taxes to help you, which I really like. I have a CPA that is also a creator, and so she has helped me greatly with my tax situation to like help navigate what that is all about. So that was really cool. Again, StreamYard was there. Uscreen was there. Nomadic was there. Okay, so I have a fun Nomadic story. I had created a meetup for Women of Video, and we went and had dinner, and it was super great. I loved meeting a bunch of new women creators. Like only like two of them that came had been on the podcast, and so it was really great to meet all these new women that, of course, I can connect and hopefully have them as guests on the podcast. And they were doing some great things. It was so cool to like come together and connect and drink and party and just like commune. It was so amazing. Like, when women come together, it's just my favorite thing ever. But when I was in the chat talking with people, they're like, I think they said your name at the Nomadic booth. I was like, oh, cool. Like, I won a backpack. I know that might sound weird to you, but Nomadic is the company that creates the Peter McKinnon like camera backpack. Y'all, it is so big and sturdy and like meant for a man that's 6'4", and it was hard to get home. I live my best carry-on life, so I had to literally stuff my carry-on backpack inside this backpack. But what was the cool added bonus, they handed it to me as a box. It had the box. I'm in there, and I go to actually see Peter McKinnon's panel that he is doing with a sponsor, and that's a whole different story. But so I got to wait in line, and he signed this backpack for me. So not only did I get a free backpack, he signed it for me, and I think he was pretty excited about it, because I don't think he gets to do that often. I don't think that he gets to like sign his merch or see it in real life, because he's online all the time and he's off doing his work and creating beautiful photography around the world, that like there might be that like fan disconnect for him, because he seemed like really excited because he like didn't know where to sign it. I handed him a marker. He's like, oh. I was like, will you sign my bag? He's like, dude, yes. Like, he was like ready for it. I have a recording. And he's like, where should I sign it? Because this is black. And I like pulled the flap down. The inside of it was green. And he could sign like, oh, smart. Like, you thought about this. And he signed the bag. So it was really cool, like, experience to get to have that moment to do that. But when we talk about this event and all the great things that happened, the learning, the feedback, like the women were in attendance, the theme that happened across VidCon and VidSummit is that the creators don't know what they're doing. They don't know what they're doing. We have reached the point in the creator economy where everyone is like, cool, what now? There's no roadmap for this. There's not like people before us who have like been able to like pave the way for us in a way that makes sense, especially when we're talking about like the middle class creator. It's one thing to be a creator with over 1 million subscribers. It's one thing to be a creator with over 100,000 subscribers. It's another thing to be a creator who's like in the between 10 and 100,000 place, which is where so many people were. And they were like, I don't know what to do next. I don't know where to go from here. I don't know how I should make money next. I don't know what to do with my audience next. I'm really struggling with making a community. I want to do other things, but like TikTok and Instagram and YouTube have me in this box where I can't do other stuff. And it's so interesting to hear the struggle so many creators are having. And I wish I could give them answers, but I'm there too. Like, I've got some real solid clarity about what I want to do with my YouTube channel. I'm going to turn my YouTube channel into like a media company, focus on video and online marketing. It's going to be tutorials and how-tos and higher end concept stuff, but it's going to funnel to a website where my website will have like an online store where people can buy courses and digital products to make their video and social media marketing life easier. Because while people want service, that part of my business has really dropped from YouTube. And so I need a middle ground digital product situation and to build that community around all of that products and stuff. And so that's what I'm pivoting that into. And I'm also going to launch a new YouTube channel. I don't think I'm going to edit. I think it's just going to be me talking at the camera, kind of like how I talk with you guys every week. And I'm just going to tell stories because I've experienced these really intense, crazy situations in my life that I want to share as learning opportunities for others while also like having like an outlet to do it. It's almost like a way to like write a book, but without having read a book, because I've written a book and it was hard, but I don't think it made a lot of sense for my audience. So I'm gonna be like doing videos that's like, is it okay to not want to be a mother? Or my baby was born blue, or how I moved to Michigan for the weather. When you stop being friends with your best friend, why I travel for work and it's not what you think. How I had to stop emotionally parenting my children. Why my husband isn't my best friend. Like, there's a lot of like these kinds of stories I want to tell, and I can't tell them on my channel that's designed for social media marketing and video marketing. That's gonna be a whole other thing where I just tell stories and connect with my audience, with the new audience. The audience will be very specifically like women over 30, maybe even over 35, who are married, have kids, or who have been married or are married and don't have kids, or those that have kids but no partners. Like that whole person, like people who have been there, they're in the thick of it. And I think that they just want relatability and they want connection. And that was my biggest takeaway from these video events is the yearning for connection and camaraderie and masterminding within the creator community. Because we all feel so confused. We're so lonely. We're all struggling to figure out what to do next and where to go and how to make it work in this crazy flipping world that we live in right now. So let's be there for each other. Let's support each other. Let's go on this journey of figuring out what to do next together. And that's what like I'm going to dedicate myself to doing as we continue to move forward. When I talk to these women, because like I said, we're super close to 200 episodes when I recorded this. And so like, let's do this. Let's connect, let's grow, let's figure out the what next and how we can move this forward because we are impossibly amazing. Until next week, peace.
Thank you for listening to the Women of YouTube podcast. We would love to know what you thought about this latest episode. So make sure to tag us with hashtag Women of YouTube with your thoughts.